all the love that drew salvation's plan.
Wow.
All the grace that brought it down to man. All the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. You're on the page that takes 2.5 lines. There's another 2.5 lines that go with the course, but all the riches of those few words. And marvelous they are. Thank God for His grace. Amen. And for He coming to the cross of Calvary. Praise the Lord. Now, 2 Chronicles this morning. I better take you to 1 Chronicles. It might not read the same as I want. We go to 1 Chronicles. I don't know. Just pick one. I'm picking 1 Chronicles. I hope it's the right one. Well, it's so close to 2 Chronicles, it had me confused. Chapter 29. Do you love this old book? The privilege, it's ours to read it. Be able to hold it in our hands and to allow its truth to grip our hearts. What do you live for? Seriously, what do you live for? Is it for yourself? Or is it for Christ? Makes a big difference. Do you realize you can be a Christian and live for yourself? Most do. And quite frankly, Christianity is not really exciting to them. Matter of fact, when circumstances go against folks like that, they're in pretty bad state. Oh, by the way, if you notice circumstances don't go your way most of the time, you know what that means? You're in a pretty bad state most of the time. Huh? But when you're walking with the Lord, no matter what comes your way, what did we see in Sunday school? Paul said that he's a prisoner of who? Christ. He's in jail and he says, no, I'm there because Christ wants me to be. Wow. And so we can count it all joy when we're walking in the right place. All right. Well, that was another sermon that was free. You don't have to have an offering for that one. Chapter 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David, the king, said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Have you been to the hardware store lately? This is a pile of money. This is a lot of stuff. Marble, stones, and abundance. Have you put on a marble countertop lately? We're talking about a whole temple. Well, let's go on. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. We're talking about nearly $1 billion. The gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? That's our text, but I want you to notice where we came from. What was David doing? David was giving for the purpose of building the temple, a place where they would meet at and worship God. And then he asked, who then is willing to consecrate his service? Interesting word. One that is synonymous with giving, as we look at it here in this particular context. This word consecrate is simply meaning to make it available into holiness, for holy purposes. All right, let's go on. That's what he asked them. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people, what did they do? Rejoiced. For that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Let's look at that again. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the King. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks 1,000 rams and 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time, and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be the priest. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Oh God, I pray today you might just open our hearts and our minds to it. Oh God, we not just sit here and think about other things, but our minds have for us. Bless, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Please go ahead and be seated. Anytime we find in Scripture reference to the temple of God, we can make some application. For we find from the Word of God that as believers we are what? Temples of the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What, know ye not that ye are the temple, or your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own?" And so when we look here at this temple and its preparation, we can make, I believe, some application of the preparation of this temple, of this person, of us as people, as a part of this church. And listen, you stop and think about it. If you are a temple of the Holy Spirit and we bring all these temples together into this local church, not only do we have He dwelling within us, but we also know that where two or three are gathered together in His name. And what is a gathering together? It's an assembly of people. It's what a church is. What? He says, "I am in the midst thereof." And so we find that He be in that midst. And thus, what is a temple? Its purpose? It's a dwelling of God. And these temples then, as they come together as one, as you and I come together as a church, we have a purpose. We have a work. We discussed that in my Sunday school class earlier. And it's basically we might equip believers to reach non-believers. We might equip us ourselves to become servants of God, that we might go forth and do the work of God, that we might be servants to Him. What a tremendous, tremendous opportunity we have. Previous to this time, God had dwelt among His people in a portable tabernacle. It was a tent, if you please, and it was built way back in the days of Moses, and they put that together as God had instructed them, and everywhere they went, they took that tabernacle with them. Matter of fact, we find from Scripture that they had specific spots where each tribe was to be located around that tabernacle. It was to be right in the center of that congregation. So wherever they went, that tabernacle was to go. And we find that the function of the temple is the same, and it's a place where God would what? Abide with His people. Now, the temple that we find is in a certain location. So here we find that the tabernacle, it went where the people were, and the temple, the people went where it was at. But they both had the same purpose. And that purpose was that they might meet with, they might worship God. Both had the presence of God. Both had the privilege of knowing that God was with them. David had a vision. That vision was, rather than a tabernacle that was now fairly stationary, it was to build that which was more permanent, that which would bring glory to Him. And so David began to put together all of the different things that it would take to build that. And he didn't just put together block and mortar. We find that David put together very expensive items. And we find that it was very ornate. We find that it was a tremendous building that was put up in that day. And what we find from this is David then asking a question after he gave. After he gave of all that substance, in verse number 5, and we read it a little bit ago, but notice with me again the last portion of that verse, and it says, "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Who is willing to do what God wants him to do? Who is willing to give himself wholeheartedly to the work of God? And what's interesting, as we look at this in its context, and we think of consecration, we see it in the context of giving. Interesting, is it not? What's one of the things that you hear from the lost world and the reason they don't want to go to church? They don't want to hear about having to give. Sometimes that's true of God's people. They don't want to hear about giving. Why is that? Because we are selfish. Let's just face it. Let's just say it real plainly. We want that for ourselves. But David understood a principle, and we find it recorded here. And that principle is that everything we have is a gift of God to begin with. It is His. And when we recognize that whatever is ours is not ours, but it really belongs to God, it makes it giving very easy. It's kind of like this. When I was a little boy and I went off to Sunday school, Mom would pull out a nickel or a dime and once in a while a quarter. Now, you got to understand, in the 1950s, a nickel or a dime or a quarter was worth a lot more than it is today. And for a quarter, I could buy a pop and a popcorn and ride the bus to get it and have a dime left over. You got to understand that. And I could buy a hamburger for 15 cents. I could buy a french fry for 10 cents. And so Mom would give me, and some of you are older than I, and you can remember when it would buy more than that. And so Mom would give me a nickel or a dime and sometimes a quarter, and I was to take that to Sunday school and give that. Do you know that was not really hard to do? Because it really wasn't mine to start with. It was Mom's, and she told me to do that. I took that and I gave that. You know, when we recognize that what we have is not really ours, and we're just giving it to keep, to give back to Him, to use wherever He wants to, it really makes this matter a whole lot more simple. And so here we find that David, he says, who will consecrate themselves under the service of God? Where's it at? It's in the context of him having just given great amounts. I threw out the figure $1 billion. We're not sure, but that's a pretty close figure. And so he was willing to give that for the building of the temple. How much is he worth? I have no idea. But he gave that for the building of the temple. And then he says, who is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? And what we find, the very next verse, then the chief of the fathers. Who was it? We find it is those who are leaders. Those in position of leadership, they take out and they begin to give. And as they give willingly of what they have, it inspires the rest of the people to give what they have. And we find there's great amounts of goods to build the temple, to even to layer its walls, not with paint, but with silver. Amazing. Well, let's stop and think about some things here and consider. Let's make a few applications. Number one, giving is essential to building. Now, we're going to talk about two kinds of building. We can build buildings, but there's something far more important than building buildings, and that is building people. There's buildings, there's people. If a church is going to gather together and assemble, there needs to be a place to do that. Whether it's a building specifically made for that purpose that we have here, or it is even in the home of a believer and it's a house church, that place has to be built. Even our missionaries understand. In some places in Africa, and the weather is very, very hot, they don't have air conditioning, but they do have rains, and they want at least a cover over their head. They have a place they go to meet. They like to put up walls around it that they might not be disturbed by other things, that they might be able to teach the Word of God to the people. And so you have building of buildings, you have building of people. Giving is essential to building. And David took out of that which God had given him because he saw this need. He realized, hey, if this is going to take place, praise being given unto God in a corporate manner, there must be a place for us to gather together to do that. And thus he gave. And when you and I also see that there are lives that need to be built, it takes materials to do that, to build in lives. And so we give for that purpose. What parent does not give of themselves unto their children, give them of their time, give them of their substance? And the same thing be true of our Heavenly Father and those whom we seek to serve. And so you have this area. We not only are building buildings, but we're building people. And in the process of all that, there's also the constant rebuilding. You got a nice home out there on whatever street that is. Yeah, and I think you guys were able to build that several years ago. And does she ever clean it? You clean it? You get a lot of honey-do list? Yeah, I know. Okay. It's okay. We'll talk after the service.
Okay.
Okay. Are there other things you got to do besides clean it? You got to maintain stuff, don't you? Yeah, yeah. I'm going to bypass you. You just did some things to your house, didn't you? And you constantly got to what? Take care of stuff. Okay? It means sometimes you got to repaint the walls. Things wear out, don't they? Isn't that true? Yeah. And so what do? You got to do that, and it's just part of the thing. And many times we got to hire somebody that knows what they're doing, because I know you don't. We all know that Q, okay? And Q doesn't know what a pair of pliers is. He knows what duct tape is and WD-40. The problem is Q doesn't know if you put WD-40 on first and then the duct tape, or duct tape and then WD-40. But somebody straighten him out one of these days. We're having a little fun with you, brother, and with your expense. But we have to maintain things, don't we? And if you go to Q's house, you go to their house. I mean, you go to their houses, and you'll find houses that are well taken care of. It means maintenance. Doc, who's up in years, he's still young at heart. And they maintain their home very nicely. And that's what we got to do, amen? It takes money to do that, doesn't it? It takes time to do that. And so that's true, by the way, of people. It takes time to maintain you. Yeah. I know. The burden's almost more than we can handle. But we'll do it. We love you. Okay? And so we got to teach this guy. We got to teach him. You see, God has a special place for him in ministry. There's a special place for him. Okay? And that's true of all you guys. God has something. Did you know that? Yeah. Do you know what it is yet? No, I don't know either. Okay? God's got a special place for him. I think I know what it is. He don't know what I think I know what it is. Because it ain't my job to tell him what I think I know it is. It's my job to help him get prepared for it. Okay? That's my job. In order to do that, I have to give of myself. Okay? In my particular situation, I'm also, as a pastor of this church, to do that for a whole bunch of people. And according to the Word of God, that means then that these folks have the privilege and opportunity to take care of some things for me. They that preach the gospel are to live with the gospel. Did you know that? Yeah. And it's in the Word of God. And it's just like the oxen. It's wonderful to be a pastor and be compared to an oxen. But it's okay. because they're servants. And as we would feed the oxen, so it's responsibility for that. That's a maintenance program. We follow what we're saying? What does it do? It takes people giving to do that. We all are in that position. Right? And why do we do it? Because we see there's a tremendous need. And giving then eventually is to what? Build. To build lives. See? That's its purpose. And we can see that. My, what a marvelous thing that is. A lot of folks think, well, man, the preacher just wants us to give because he wants to get rich. No. I'm already rich. Did you know that? You say, well, why are we giving to you? Because I don't have any money. But I'm rich. I have a Heavenly Father that has everything. But here's the deal. God gives to me through you. And God gives to you through other means. And it's all God's to begin with. And we become channels of all those things. And ultimately, what's it for? It is what? For the work of the ministry. And David understood this. And he understood, hey, if I give and we build this building, then this building we use to bring people here, they might meet with God. They might together glorify God. They might praise Him together. Matter of fact, it's at this building that they had and this temple that was there that they would bring their sacrifices, which was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, and that Lamb would be slain for their sins. It was to help them to understand what God was doing for them in the overall scheme of things. It was a place of education. And so God put that in the heart of David. And David understood that, and so he gave. He gave for a purpose. And he saw what it was all about. And he realized it was essential to building not only the temple, but the people who would be going there. And we can make the same plea as far as concerned with the local church. Now, here's another truth that we need to understand. And it's a marvelous thing. And if you've looked, you've already seen this. And that is, giving motivates giving. Giving motivates giving. The churches of Macedonia, we find they gave offering to missionaries. And that offering spurred other churches to do the same thing. And that's a great study, and we'll be in that as we get into our missions conference in another month. But giving motivates giving. David took out of what God had blessed him with, gave it for the work of the Lord. Then he challenged his brethren to give as well. And we notice that the leadership, they jumped in and they gave. And it tells us what they gave. And then it says the rest of them, they jumped in and they offered willingly. Giving motivates giving. You want to teach your children to have a giving heart? Don't be stingy parents. Let them know that you're giving to God. Help them to realize the blessing that is from that. And when they got done giving, and to me this is the best part of all, when they got done giving, they got excited and they began to praise God. Now, that's a weird thing. A lot of folks, they go to church and the offering plate's passed and they get upset because the preacher said something about the offering plate that's being passed. All they want is money around. That's all they ever talk about. They want this, they want that, they want the other thing. And other people say, praise God, I've got this privilege and opportunity. By the way, whichever way you are on that particular thing shows what kind of heart you have. It comes very obvious. I don't do it too often, but you ever sit up here and the offering plate's being passed, or some folks excited about it. Other people. when we recognize the wondrous privilege that God has given us, and we have the privilege to take out of what He's given us and to give to Him, we rejoice when it's all over. And we find that nearly half of what we read this morning is David rejoicing for the privilege that he had to give to God. And then we find that the people, they jump in and they rejoice with him. Wow. It's exciting. First time it was ever very much visualized in my mind was the first time I went to camp. The year was 1979. And we were in camp, and I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday night. And the camp director, oh, I've lost his name. He got up, just a little short guy. And he began what they called a cowboy offering. And he says, he pulls out a $100 bill. And he said, I had a guy loan me this $100 bill for the offering, and I need to pay him back. Is anybody willing to give me $100 to put in the offering for this $100? And somebody pulled out a $100 bill. Yeah, it weren't me. I didn't have one. And he ran out in the crowd and he grabbed that and said, praise God. And somebody else lifted up a $100 bill too. He said, praise the Lord. He ran all over that building collecting $100 bills. And then it went down to $50 bills. And down to $20 bills. We were getting close to my range. And $10 bills. And I was able to take out of my wallet a $10 bill and hold it up. And I lifted it way up like that. I was sitting down. He had to jump to get it. And I saw a crowd that night get excited about giving. They knew what was going on. And they were having fun with it. And that's where we ought to be as Christians. Amen? And we get there when we realize it's for the purpose of building people. That's what it's all about. It's a blessed thing. It's for the purpose of not only building them, but also reaching them. It's the purpose of it. Yeah. It's exciting. You've been saved? It took some money to get you saved. Mom and Dad had come to church a whole lot of times. They had to talk to you a whole lot. Maybe give you a headlock. I don't know what all they had to do. So you can't force somebody to be saved. Bible says go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. I'm not sure what that means. Tie a rope around them and drag them in behind your car. I don't know. Don't do that. But people then come to know Christ their Savior. Yeah. And so all that is involved. And he understood that. And he pulls out of that which he has and he gives. And then he says, who will consecrate themselves? I've heard that word for years, consecration. Giving ourselves unto God. But I never thought about it in the context where it's sitting at. It's giving. And whether it's giving of our substance or giving of ourselves or whatever it is, our time, it's giving. It's giving. Yeah. All of us can give of ourselves. All of us have different amounts and types of substances. Understand that. But we all have ourselves. And we can give that to God for His use. That's what He wants. Wow. I don't know about you, but I looked at this is good stuff what we see in this chapter. It's exciting. Consecration is dedicating to a holy cause
And we find that that is giving of ourselves. One who is unwilling to give of the substance is unwilling to give of themselves, really. Because they see themselves as the only one worthy of all the stuff. God is great, amen. I want you to think about this in closing. Jesus Christ left heaven to come here. We saw in our text this morning, Ephesians, to the lowest part of the earth. However you want to take that, that's your business, but I look at the lowest part and I'm thinking about the humility that He came in. A humble place. And where do we find He came? He came to a barn. Where did He sleep at? Out in the open. What was His pillow? Rocks. What did He own? Just the cloak that they took off of Him when they took Him to the cross of Calvary and gambled over it, and He didn't get the money out of it. Do you understand Jesus Christ hung absolutely naked on the cross of Calvary? And there to bleed and to die for you and for me. Is that humility? Is that the lowest part? I don't know what would be. But He gave of Himself. And we have the privilege to act like the Lord and give of ourselves. And whatever it is He has. And to see God use that and bless in it and do marvelous things. It's an exciting thing we live in. This old world, this place that we call home right now. And what God can do in our hearts and our lives. Wow. You might sit here and you say, I don't really have anything. I don't have much in the way of substance to give to the Lord. Do you know there was a little widow woman that only had 2 mites? That's half a penny. And she gave it all to God. You know what Jesus said about that? She gave more than everybody else. Because she gave it all. You ever wonder what happened to that widow woman? The Bible doesn't say. Do you think she went home and starved to death? Not if my God is my God. Not if my Jesus who saw that is my Jesus. Not according to His promises. Somehow, I think it's kind of like that widow woman that took her last little bit of meal and the oil and gave it to Elijah first. Before her son, before herself. And what did God do? Every time she went to the oil drum, it had some more in it. Every time she went to the meal barrel, there was some more in it. Wow. If we'll just be willing. Wow. We got a great God. Father, today, work in our hearts. Bless. Oh, God, there are so many ways that You might be applying this to hearts and lives. I can't even count them. Don't even try. Lord, I just know You've laid this in my heart. And, Lord, I know that somehow You're laid in hearts of Your people. Lord, that we might respond to You rightly and promptly and properly. God, that we might give ourselves to You. We might be used of You. Lord, we not hold back and just be selfish and only concerned about ourselves. But God, we might be those who are seeking to see the work of God and the ministry and all these things enhanced. Lord, we thank You. We ask for Your blessing, work in hearts and lives. Perhaps there's one here today, Lord, that knows You're not a Savior. They might realize that You gave it all, that they might have a life everlasting. Convict their hell-bent soul of their sin, they might get saved. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at.